Well, I hope you brought your Bible this morning, but if you did not, would you reach into in front of you and pull the Pew Bible out? Our scripture this morning is found on page 58 in that Pew Bible. In your Bible, it's Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read 12 verses there at the beginning of the chapter. Page 58 in the Pew Bible and Exodus chapter 3 in your Bible. We're going to bring the house lights up so that all of our eyes have a chance to see this small print. Let's all stand together out of respect for God's word as we read this together. Exodus 3, page 58. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And then the Lord said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Let's pray. Lord, give us courage by seeing how you were with Moses as he stepped out into what for him was an unknown future, but to you was simply your plan for him in the palm of your hand. Help us place our lives in that hand, knowing there's no better hand to be in. It's in Jesus' name we pray, God's people said. Amen. Our story this morning begins where that Chinese rocket came down two Saturdays ago as it re-entered the Earth's atmosphere. It was first seen over the Sinai Desert and then over the Arabian Peninsula and finally crashed into the Indian Ocean. Thank the Lord for that. But I can just imagine the shepherds out on those mountains and in those deserts looking up and seeing that bright flare break up of the rocket streaking overhead in their night sky. What a phenomenal sight that must have been for those shepherds out there, which would have been almost as amazing as the sight that caught Moses' eye out on one of those mountains as well, where he was out watching his father-in-law's sheep and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out in the midst of a bush. And Moses looked and behold, the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And we heard how the rest of the story played out this morning, how Moses had a very scary encounter with God. Scary, first of all, because it was God that Moses was having an encounter with. And scary, second of all, because of what God was asking Moses to do. God was asking Moses to step out on faith into the great unknown, to step out from shepherd's pasture field, in which he probably felt very comfortable, and to step out into the darkness of which Moses did not know. He's going to go to Pharaoh. He's going to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go. He's going to rescue Israelites out of Egyptian hands. He's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, a land already inhabited by seven strong nations, nations that would have to be driven out of the land because of their sin. Scary propositions, each one of those, stepping out, as far as Moses is concerned, into the great unknown, leading a mission into places Moses had never been. In fact, Moses felt so unqualified to lead this mission that Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Which seems perfectly understandable, a perfect objection for an 80-year-old shepherd out keeping his father-in-law's flock in the wilderness. Who am I that I should do this? Perfectly understandable until we hear God say, "But I will be with you." Now that changes the direction of the whole communication. And it should change our directions this morning as well, as we think about all the times that we may find ourselves being called to step out into the unknown. Now, that unknown is different for different folks. There's some who are just getting ready to start school this fall. I forgot all about that, but this week, our grandson had to take his first trip to the little grade school where he's going to begin school this fall. And he had to be tested. I don't know what you do if you fail the test. You still got to go to school, but they made him take a test. So the apron strings are going to be cut, and the boy's going to step out and go to school. Never been to school before. But there are others here who are just getting ready to graduate school next week. There's some that are nervously getting ready to be married this year. There's a scary proposition. We've got one here in this church who is just getting ready to graduate and be married this year. There are some here that are stepping out and beginning their first career. We've got some here who are beginning a new career. Or those like me who are just getting ready to retire and step out into a whole new world that we don't know anything about. And I appreciate all you that have tried to ease Lynn and I's fears as we step out into a whole new life we don't know anything about. So, some of you that we've asked have said, retirement, you'll be so busy in retirement, you'll have so much running to do, you'll ever wonder how you had time to work. That kind of talk we did not want to hear. But when I've asked others of you what retirement is going to be like, because I truly don't know what it's going to be like, some of you have actually said, we'll let you know when we figure it out. We're still trying to figure out what it's going to be like ourselves. My favorite answer, because I've been asking a lot of people, one gentleman in the church here said, "Retirement is like every day's a Saturday." Oh, my. That was like music to Lynn and I's ears. I don't know if it'll be that way, but that sounded so, so good when we heard that. One person told us we won't have to get up and rush so much. In fact, she said, when we're reading the Bible, we won't have to stop just because of the clock and some appointment, but we can read as long as we want and stop wherever we want. And I got to tell you, that really sounds like the kind of life that I'd like to step into. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know what kind of life I'm getting ready to step into. Now, because of your gracious, gracious gift, it looks like Lynn and I are going to have a roof over our heads, okay? So that looks good. That is if the beam I replaced a bearing wall with yesterday is still holding down in West Virginia, then I'll have a roof over our heads. And if not, we'll have the biggest skylight on the street. We do thank you for that. That seems to be a given now. We're going to have a place to live. But will we have enough money to live on? I don't know. Will I be able to continue preaching on Sunday? That's my biggest concern. I want to continue to preach. You know, just fill in, not for pay, just help little churches, help ministers take breaks. I just want to preach. If you want to pray for me, that's what I ask you to pray for. Pray that the Lord lets me still preach. That's all I ask for. I'll be a happy man. But will our health hold? Or how long will our health hold? Will Lynn and I continue to have each other to hold on to? Now, we hope so, but we don't know. For us, it's like stepping out into the great unknown. We don't know what's going to be out there. And the truth of the matter is, the great unknown is a place where everyone goes. It's not just me this morning. This is a lesson we can learn from Moses. There was only one person out there on the far side of that desert that knew what Moses was stepping out into. And it wasn't Moses. It was the voice that called to Moses from out of the bush that knew what awaited Moses around the corner. Not Moses. If truth is known, we don't know what awaits us around the corner as well. We don't know the future. We plan. We map out our lives of the kind of life we'd like them to be, how we'd like to graduate, maybe go on to college, maybe graduate school too. Some here may have dreams of a doctorate. Others will skip school and go straight to work. Some will join the service, see the world, find a mate, get married, buy a house, go on exciting vacations, have kids, a cat and a dog, raise the whole clan to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and then live happily ever after in our own little garden paradise. And that may be what happens. And we pray it does happen. We thank God if it happens. But how foolish for anyone to count on that happening. Because there's a lot of other things that can happen as well. You know, people get sick. And they have accidents. Sometimes they're debilitated for life. They suffer loss. They experience heartache. Sure, people save for the future. But you know, the stock market doesn't just go up. Sometimes the stock market goes down as well. Crashes sometimes. Did in 1929. It could crash again. Life in America could change just like that. Things were purring right along right through the first quarter last year, if you'll remember. And then all of a sudden, we all got hit square in the face, quite literally, by something we never expected, something called COVID-19. And we're only now seeing light at the end of the tunnel and beginning to take these masks off and breathe a little easier. But who knows what's waiting right around the corner? You think COVID was the only thing waiting around the corner? What's next? What's going to happen this year, next year? We don't know. The book of James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, spend a year there, trade, make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are but a mist that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting is evil. It's evil because it leaves God completely out of the picture. And it's evil because it boastfully proposes that you're God. And that you're going to control the future. When the truth of the matter is, when every one of us stepped out of the bed this morning and put our first foot on the floor, every one of us were stepping out into the great unknown. No one of us knew what was going to happen to us this day. That was known only to God and to God alone. Now, the great unknown is where everyone goes. But it's also where no one has to go alone. This is the good news. This is the comfort that God gave Moses. Sure, Moses didn't know where he was going, didn't think he could do what God was asking, couldn't have dreamed what it would amount to over the next 40 years of his life. How could he have possibly known any of that? How can we? We can't. We don't. But what we can know is what Moses was told. God said, but I will be with you. And after a lifetime of seeing God prove himself faithful to that promise, time after time again, Moses will tell his successor Joshua, Joshua, be strong and courageous, for it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And the Lord confirms that promise by making that promise himself to Joshua when the Lord God says to the new leader of his children of Israel, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Folks, that's a promise the Lord makes to all his people time after time again. Jesus made that promise to those he would be leaving behind when he left this world. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And then listen to this. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Jesus promises to be with us until the end of the age. That's a promise that we see the Lord keeping all through the New Testament. New Testament Christians were told to keep their lives free from the love of money, not to trust money to take them through their unknown futures, but to be content with what you have, for God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So those New Testament Christians said, we can confidently say, the Lord, he is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, they didn't know what was coming around the corner for them. Who does? But they knew who would be going around that corner with them. And that's what gave them the confidence and the courage to continue stepping out into the great unknown. It's where everyone goes, but it's where no one has to go alone. It's also where great and precious promises become fully known. Moses is told, and this will be the sign for you. This is how you'll know this is true. Yes, I'm asking you to step out, go places of which you cannot know. But I'm going with you. And this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, not if you successfully bring the people out of Egypt, but when you bring the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. It all started on the west side of the wilderness, if you'll remember, on Horeb, the mountain of God. That's where Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law. That's where the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flaming fire out of the midst of a bush. That's where Moses turned aside to see this great sight, why this bush was not being burned up. That's where the Lord called Moses to take off his sandals, for the place where he's standing is holy ground. And that's where the Lord told Moses he would be stepping out into a great unknown, which is where everyone goes, not knowing what's around the corner, but where Moses was assured he would not be going alone. The Lord would be going with him. And as an assurance, the Lord gave Moses this promise: when you have brought the people out, you shall serve me on this mountain. Which, for those of you who know the story of Moses, you know this does not ease Moses' concern one iota. But after Moses finally places his life in God's hand and discovers there is no better place to be in, after Moses goes to Pharaoh multiple times, after God enables Moses to perform miracle after miracle and bring plague upon Egypt, until Pharaoh finally gives in and lets God's people go, only to relent and chase after them on horses and chariots and with soldiers, chases them right into the Red Sea that the Lord had opened before his children, the sea that Moses and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground, the sea that collapsed upon all Pharaoh's pursuing army. After crossing the desert without provision, drinking bitter water that the Lord had made miraculously sweet, eating manna that God had miraculously made fall in the morning, and meat in the form of quail that God miraculously blew in the evening, bringing water from the rocks, being led by a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, providing a miraculous victory over the Amalekites. After all that, Moses will find himself with the children of Israel encamped at the foot of that very familiar mountain. And Moses will be seen running up and down that mountain, fetching and refetching stone tablets from the top of the mountain and delivering them from God to his people below, serving God on that mountain just like God said Moses would. That's how faith works, folks. You have to step out on it first. You have to step out into the great unknown first before you discover you were never alone. No, never alone. The old mountain song. No, never alone. Never, never alone. And when all is said and done, all of God's great and precious promises finally become known. But only by those who by faith stepped out on their faith into the great unknown. That's where God is best seen, in the darkness. His brilliance is best shown. And you see God where he's always been, sitting on his throne. And that's where we're being challenged to step out this morning. Whether you're a graduate and about to commence with the rest of your life, or whether you're a worn out old codger like me, about ready to step out into another chapter of life you know nothing about, or whether you're a congregation about to turn the page on a brand new chapter of existence and service under the direction of a new senior minister. We're all being challenged to trust God and to step out on faith into places we've never gone. And I know I'm going to date myself with this closing illustration, but many of you will remember with me how Captain Kirk would introduce each new episode of Star Trek by saying, "Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before." And I think our text this morning is telling us something very similar. To not be afraid to step out on faith. To go ahead and step out wherever the Lord tells you to go. And maybe to you it is unknown. But that's only to us. To the one who holds you in his hand, he knows the end from the beginning. There's nothing out there unknown to him. And we can step out into that darkness knowing we're not going alone. Would you stand with me? Lord, we pray if there's anyone here who is trying to gather the courage to step out and go places they've never gone, places you would have them go, that they would not do so foolishly. They would not step out alone into the darkness, but they would place their life in your hand, knowing there's no better hand to be in. And they would walk confidently out into the darkness with you at their side. And one day with us, look back and see your great and precious promises and how they brought us through. And how you never left us, you never forsook us. But you did indeed go with us right to the very end of the world. Thank you for your son, Jesus, for the chance to live forever with him in heaven. Help us walk with him now through whatever dark path we have to walk here on the earth. That's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray it. God's people said,